lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In my Christian life, I found out that there are temptations that come into my life. And it seems sometimes that I ask myself, does anyone else go through these temptations? Has anything tempted someone else like myself with these same temptations? Well, the answer, of course, is Christ was tempted just like we are as human beings. And the Christian is not above the Savior. In other words, the Savior was tempted, and so will we be tempted as Christians. Well, today in our study, I'd like for us to look at, first of all, the temptation of Christ. Christ was tempted. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, and we read about that in the New Testament. But before we get into that, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, I ask that you would give me the words. Help me, Lord, to speak your words the way you would have them spoken. And I pray today that if there's one listening, the sound of my voice, may that person know you as Savior. If that person does not know you as Savior, may that person come to that saving knowledge even today. And we thank you, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the temptation of Christ. There are three specific temptations described by Matthew and Luke about our Lord. And Satan had a strategy. And the first testing of our Savior was to turn stones into bread. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," this was speaking of Christ, of course, "says he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Well, the first testing that we see here targeted Christ's urgent physical need. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He did this without eating. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 2 once again says, being 40 days and tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And Matthew 4, 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So, it tells us there that a physical need was there in his life, and the devil capitalized on that, and he tried to, he tempted the Lord. Well, what was Jesus' response to the devil? In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it gives us the answer of what he said. He answered and said unto the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Well, we go back in the Old Testament, and in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So, man does have to have food in order to live, but for the Christian, the manna from heaven is the Word of God, and we look to the Lord to feed our souls from the book that He's given us. And once again, let me remind you, I do use the King James Bible as I study and as I speak to you, as I read these scriptures, and I would suggest that you get a King James Bible. Now, I believe that it is the Word of God. Well, what can we learn from the first testing of Christ? We learn that Satan does not want us to live by the Word and will of God. The first temptation to command stones to become bread, Satan wants us to put our own physical needs above our spiritual needs, whereas God wants us to seek Him first, and then He will take care of all the needs that we have. Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, we look on further now, and we see the second testing. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, the first part of that verse says, And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, this is the devil speaking to Christ. He said, Cast thyself down, if you be the Son of God. Well, this testing appealed to Christ's human desire for recognition and approval. Matthew 4, 6 goes on to say, You know, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, Jesus did not need the recognition of man. And in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, it says this, Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any man should testify of him, for he knew what was in man. See, Jesus already had the recognition of the Father. And that's what was important. In Mark chapter 1, verse 11, there came a voice from heaven. Remember now, as he got baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, what was Jesus' response to the devil here about casting himself down and giving the angels charge and all this? Well, Jesus' response to the devil is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And of course, he's referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16, where it says, Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. He's speaking to the Jewish people here, but you notice there, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Well, what can we learn from the second testing of Christ? We can learn this, that Satan does not want us to trust the Lord our God. The second temptation for Christ to throw himself down from the temple or the temple pinnacle, Satan wants us to tempt God by doing what he never really told us to do. And then to foolishly think that God will step in to protect us. In other words, we're not to tempt the Lord. God wants us to simply trust him and do that which is right, leaving the results with God. Well, the third testing of Christ is seen in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, where it says again, The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, Jesus didn't need the immediate attainment of his spiritual goal of making the entire world his own kingdom of peace and love. And we know that one day that the millennial kingdom will come, and people will recognize our Lord as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, Christ's answer to Satan for this third testing was this, Get thee hence, Christ said. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 it says, Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And once again, back in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20 it says, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Well, what can we learn from the third testing of Christ? We can learn this, that Satan does not want us to worship God alone. He wants us to add things. Well, the third temptation to worship the devil, Satan wants us to worship and honor him in order to achieve the higher position or station in life. But believers must never bow down to anything or anyone except the Lord our God. He alone deserves and demands our wholehearted allegiance. We must never seek to advance ourselves at the cost of abandoning God and that which is right. It's never right to do wrong. Well, I would say at the end of these testings here, that Satan loses again. After Christ's temptation, Jesus said to Satan, Get thee hence. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 says that. Satan said to Jesus, what did he say back to Jesus when Jesus said this? Well, he said nothing. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. They ministered unto our Lord. Well, how did Christ defeat Satan? Did he win the victory by his supernatural powers as the Son of God? Did he rely upon his divine omnipotence to put the devil to flight? If Christ had used his divine powers to defeat the devil, then this would be very discouraging to every believer who also must resist Satan's attacks. The Lord Jesus did not use his supernatural and divine powers to defeat the devil, and rather, he faced Satan as a man. And we can compare Jesus, his quote in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And this gives great hope and encouragement to every believer. We can win the victory in the same way that Jesus won the victory. We can resist Satan just as Christ did. We can do exactly what he did. And, the temptation of Christ was a wonderful demonstration that man, walking in the Spirit, using and relying upon the Word of God, is more than a match for Satan. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It is so important for us to stay in the book, stay in the Word of God, use the Word of God against Satan. And as we use that Word, it feeds our soul, and we become stronger and stronger. Well, what we are to do to defeat the devil? First, I see that we are to resist. In other words, we're to stand against the devil. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We are also to be sober, in other words, serious about this thing. And we are to be vigilant. In other words, stay alert, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. We are to stand against, in other words, resist the devil, being firmly fixed in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And then we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And a couple more verses here about this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, remember, the believer who walks in the Spirit, in other words, stands under God, and who uses and relies upon the Word of God, in other words, stands upon the Word, is more than a match for Satan. Do you know him today as your Savior? If you don't, why not trust him? Why not ask him to come into your heart today? "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, I know you're God. I know that you can save me, and I trust you. And I know your word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," Romans 10:13. If you'll ask him, he'll save you today. Be sorry for your sin. And Christian, you need to be living for him. You need to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And therefore, when that happens, you can resist the devil when he comes and tries to tempt you to turn away from God and do your own thing and not live for the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.